Okay, so just briefly, I happen to be learning this tshuva this morning. I found it interesting. So Rav Asher Weiss was asked the following question. He was asked whether if someone comes to a Beis Din and he wants to convert, and the Beis Din is convinced that the convert is sincere, but there are ancillary concerns that make the Beis Din not want to convert this individual. So, for example, he gives three examples. He was asked this question from, as he described it, someone in a far-off land. I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to. So he says, for example, what if the person is sincere, but you can tell based on their ability to socialize that they will not be able to find a place in the community. They'll find it very difficult, and therefore it'll create an uncomfortable situation. They won't find a community. The community won't really be able to take care of the person. Could you, if the person still wants to convert, can you say, look, we don't think it's a good idea for that reason? Or alternatively, he says, what if you have a case where someone comes to you and their family is a very powerful family and doesn't want the person to convert, and it could cause an anti-Semitism or the like? And his third example was apparently this country is a very small country. There are very few people. So he says, what happens if you know realistically the person will not be able to find a shidduch? Right, there. Most people who are in this community have to leave, right, because there aren't people there to marry, and this convert is not really going to want to leave, right? To whatever extent they have family, they live in that country, whatever the case may be. So you're putting the convert in a difficult situation. Religiously, you think they'll be fine, but otherwise, you're not so convinced that it's a good idea. So what's the halacha? So he sets up the following theoretical framework, which I think frames it nicely, and then I'll bring his quasi-proof from this week or the next few weeks' parshia. So with the theoretical framework he sets up as follows. He says, what exactly is the role of Beis Din in accepting converts? So there's two possibilities. One is to say that Beis Din actually has an active role. They make him a convert. Right? They are converting him. Right? The way in Christians, the priest actually marries marries the person, right? He's part of the religious ceremony. Or is Beis Din just there to ensure that everything went smoothly and that the person who's trying to convert is in fact sincere? But really, the person, by virtue of the fact that they're sincere and that they've entered into God's sphere through their commitment, really has a right to convert, and Beis Din doesn't have an active role. They just need to confirm that this person deserves to, or is sincere in his conversion, right? Like I said, similar to what a Masada Kedushin does, right? A Masada Kedushin halacha doesn't make you married. He ensures everything goes smoothly, right? This would be a little bit more. He's ensuring that they're sincere. But again, it's more of a supervision than it is an actual creative role. And he says, well, if you think that Beis Din is creating the status of Geirus in an active sense, then presumably they have more right to turn somebody away. But if, on the other hand, they're just confirming that the person is sincere and therefore a good candidate for Geirus, presumably they can't make those calculations that are ancillary to the actual central question. He notes that there are very few makaros that would actually point in one direction or the other, but he attempts to provide makaros in each direction. So one, which he admits is tenuous, is as follows. We know that Avram Avinu devoted much of his life to converting people. At Anefesh or Sarasu Becharan, right, he went out of his way to convert people. And despite the fact that he committed his life to converting people, the Midrash tells us that Timna, who was a princess, came and wanted to marry into the family of Avram, and got turned away by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as it said in the Midrash. So ended up marrying Eliphaz, the son of Esau, because she wanted to be part of the family of Avram, and ended up therefore giving birth to Amalek. And the Midrash, the implication, is that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were punished for limiting the number of people they were willing to accept as Gerim. But Rav Asher Weiss speculates, and he says, wait a second. Why would Avram, who loved accepting Gerim, have turned away this princess? So he speculates, maybe it's because her family wouldn't have liked it. There was a political cost to it. And therefore, he thought it was legitimate to turn her away. And when by the Midrash telling you he gets punished for it, you see that you can't turn away people for ancillary reasons. He recognizes that this is a bit tenuous, but that's his suggestion. A suggestion in the opposite direction is a strange story in the Yerushalmi and Avodah Zarah, where it talks about someone who converted, but because of his astrology, he became convinced that the Jews were going to try to kill him, and he didn't realize that what it was really saying was that they were going to allow him to convert, and it would be the blood he was seeing would be the dam mila. So whenever someone would come to him, he was a barber, he would kill the person who would come, because he was afraid they were going to kill him. And the chacham, they realized this was happening, they davened that he should go back, even though he was already converted, he should go back and live with the non-Jews better than he should live with us, and that's what happened. And he said, if you see that for tzaddi concerns, admittedly, pikuach nefesh, you can even attempt to get a real ger who's already converted away, so kal vachomer, you could do that for someone who hasn't yet converted. So those are the two sources he sets up. But again, he says in the end of the day, he's not sure. He is noted to say that you have to accept them unless there's a fundamental problem with their sincerity and not with side concerns. Though he does note that sometimes side concerns can turn into primary concerns. So for example, if you think that he will never socialize into the community and that will weaken his commitment and he will end up leaving Judaism, so that becomes a fundamental concern, and that he thinks would be legitimate, and he toys with the possibility that if there was going to be a real damage to the community, you could turn a convert away. But in the end of the day, he takes his cue from the Midrash by Avram and says the message really should be that the role of Bezin is to convert those who are actually sincere and not worry about side concerns that might occur.